This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
I am just saying.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the producer. The face that produces the place. Excuse me. Tyler Milner in the building. 5 o'clock fire is upon you, by the way. T-Mill's best bet's coming up a little bit later on. And also, in this hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets. A pair of tickets on this Texans Ticket Tuesday to be in the bullpen for Monday night's game against the Buccaneers. So stay tuned and make sure you're listening. You never know when it's going to happen during the 5 o'clock hour. All right, Clint. Before we get going on the lineups and in this game tonight, J.P. France, according to The Athletic, Clint, is expected to join the Astros roster during this series against the Blue Jays, and he has been working out of the bullpen in AAA Sugar Land, and we'll look to continue to do that up with the big club with the Astros. For you, J.P. France, what is the significance of him returning to the Astros?
Hell, anybody we can get that's shown some promise in the past is that we can get back in any capacity, whether it's a starting rotation or it's the bullpen, is obviously big for the Astros. I mean, look, we've seen J.P. France be really effective at the Major League Baseball level. Yep. We've seen him be a quality starter in this league for a very short period of time, and so this the way. This, again, the entire pitching staff, not just the starting rotation or the bullpen or the front end, the back end, like the whole thing has been a mess all year long with injuries. And so you get a guy like J.P. France back, again, in whatever capacity that you can get him, I got to believe it's promising. Now, he's coming off of surgery. He's coming off of a long, long stint away from the game, and he's still ramping up and building up and all this kind of thing. And so we'll see what level of player we're going to get. We're up against it. He's not going to have but a handful of outings, you know, between now and when it really matters. And, hell, let's be honest, you know, with the Astros and the Rangers and the Mariners all tight at the top of the division, I would say right now matters. So J.P. France is coming in at a moment with there's potentially some high leverage situations he's going to be put in sooner rather than later. So I don't know if there's a ton of time to figure out what he brings to the table, but it is always good, Ron, to obviously get a guy like that back that we've seen some flashes of really, really good from in some capacity.
So I agree.
I'm here for it, man.
He's been somebody who has had success getting hitters out when he's been healthy. And, again, we talked about it. The name of the game right now with Bennett Souza on the IL right now trying to recover with Caleb Ort trying to recover. And then, obviously, like you're probably – in the space of, hey, if if some miracle occurred and Josh Ader returned, then that would happen. But I think most are the thought of you're probably going to be without Josh Ader, who still isn't throwing yet, and it's September 9th. They're going to have to get creative to get to the ninth inning or to get to their closer.
Yeah.
And he may be another route that they may try to go. Is he somebody that comes in if there's struggles and pitches the sixth and the seventh or whatever they have to do, a guy that can go multiple innings? So, yeah, they just need the arms of guys who have experience and have had a good amount of success.
They need
major
options.
Leaguers out. Yeah.
They need options, right? And I don't know, out of the Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, who was the third one that we're working with here
earlier? Alexander.
Like, I don't know
JJ.
That I don't know that one of those guys is going to be end up in there with JP France sooner rather than later. So I mean, we just need options, and hopefully it all comes together over the next handful of weeks.
Well, the lineup tonight, Garcia, as you just talked about, he's going tonight. He will have the lineup in front of him. Jeremy Pena leading off. Alvarez, he's the DH tonight. Correa behind him. Altuve's at second base tonight with Sanchez in right. Walker at third. Myers in center. And Yiner Diaz is catching with Dubon in left. So that is the lineup tonight for Garcia as they look to go in. And to me, this is a good series. This is the second best record in the American League, and they've been playing really well. George Springer, we all know him as Tyler has led him. He is smoking hot. 16 home runs, 9 stolen bases, 66 hits, and almost 40 RBIs in his last 45 games. So he has been rolling. So this will be a good test for those guys going up against another playoff team that you may see later on.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, we just heard a lot from D'Amico Ryans as he spoke with the media today. Another big thing coming off of yesterday, you lost Cade Stover's a starter like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At the tight end spot. You lost Cade Stover indefinitely. There is not a timetable on him, but it is going to be some time with the broken foot, obviously. And then the guy that we were wondering about was Jake Andrews coming out of the game, as at one point he had to be carted off the field and didn't return. He has a high ankle sprain, Clint, and timetable for his return is undetermined. The thought is it could have been worse, but he is going to be replaced at this point by Jarrett Patterson for the time being. But they could be without not only their starting one of their starting tight ends, they could also be without Jake Andrews. I guess the thought is we saw the offensive line have some shakeup last week, and there were some struggles there. How big of a difference and how much do you anticipate a difference in terms of struggles with Jake Andrews out and now Jarrett Patterson in?
Not much, if any at all. Look, I think they've done a really good job at the center position. Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryan's done a really good job at the center position in the sense of having two centers on this football team. Two guys that have played center long term, not necessarily in the league, but long term. They played a lot of snaps of football at the center position. And so I think this is a one gets injured, boom, you slide the next center in there, and it's the way it should be. It makes perfect sense. Jarrett Patterson has played a lot of football. He's played a lot of football here in Houston. He's played a lot of football with C.J. Stroud, and so I don't see this being a problem unless they make it an issue and make it more difficult than it needs to be and try to get Juice Scruggs involved in this thing somehow, some way. This seems to be very seamless. Jarrett Patterson, who, again, has been there before with this quarterback, it's as seamless a transition as you can make. Get him to work all week long, and then you go into a game with a guy you feel pretty comfortable with at center. I think this was literally splitting hairs when you're talking about Jake Andrews or Jarrett Patterson, who's your starter from jump. I think this is a true 1A, 1B type of scenario, if we're being completely honest. You can argue Jarrett Patterson last year was the one guy that probably played at or above his ceiling the most of the time when he was in there. And so this is one for me that I have zero concerns about, given how they've attacked the center position with these two guys in particular.
Yeah, when you look at those two injuries we just talked about, the two that are coming out of that game, even though you hear it, oh, man, you lost your starting center, and you lost arguably, I would say, your second tight end, right? Dalton Schultz is your lead tight end. You lost, one would think, shoot, center, one of the most important parts on the offensive line. I'm with you. I think the Texans potentially feel the Cade Stover loss more than the Jarrett Patterson loss.
Well, I tell you, it's a tape drop Tuesday, and there are a couple of positives to take away offensively, and one of them was Cade Stover. Unfortunately, it's all for none because he's not going to play again, at least for the foreseeable future. But there's a play. There's two actually back-to-back plays, and fans that you watch the game, you'll remember I think it's the first stretch of run plays when they just turned around and fed Nick Chubb between the guards, really downhill, and you know he was kicking out an end. It was Zero Bryant, and who had a really good game. And the first time he comes across there, he squares up this cat and caught him kind of off guard. Well, he fell into Nick Chubb and made the tackle about 4 yards down the field. The very next play, they run the same play, and Cade Stover comes across there, and you can see old buddy, same guy. Is like, I ain't going to take this one on the chin. He's more worried about getting a hit in the face by Cade Stover, than Nick Chubb running through the hole. And Nick Chubb went right behind Cade Stover. So it was just a perfect example of when you choose to play with physicality versus kind of just shield and turn your shoulder, it changes the game drastically. And Cade Stover was the one that put that on film in back-to-back plays. Unfortunately, again, that's the player that you lose. So now it's going to be up to Dalton Schultz and more than likely – obviously, Harrison Bryant. Hell, I don't think they got any other options.
Bryant. He said they're gonna have to improve their tight end room.
Yeah.
Smoke, so.
Well, I think Harrison Bryant and Dalton Schultz can get it done. You know, for the short term. And I just don't know if you're gonna go out there and find, unless you make a trade.
Yeah,
you're gonna go out there and find somebody that's available and ready ASAP.
I know Tyler was saying it. You were saying it when we came in Monday. There was a point in the first quarter that was a bright spot getting the tight ends. They start to get the tight ends open out of that. So we'll see what kind of additions they make before the game coming up on Monday night. But that is the latest there. Jake Andrews, the latest starting player on the offense that may miss some time.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, last Thursday, that was the oddest way to kick off a game. We were up at Kirby Ice House watching it together, and Jalen Carter got ejected after he spit on Dak Prescott. And there was concerns and wonders if he would get any kind of other consequence, suspension or anything else tied to that. The NFL says Jalen Carter ejection serves as his suspension for spitting. Carter will forfeit his week one game check, which is worth over $57,000. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, but will be available to play in the Eagles' Week 2 Super Bowl rematch against Kansas City Chiefs. The Players Association also notified the league that Carter has waived his right to appeal the punishment. Your thoughts when you watch it? You feel like this was a fair assessment of how things went that they used that game, since he didn't play in it at all,
and
that is how they use it as suspension.
Look, I don't have a problem with the game. I don't have a problem with him getting kicked out of the game in the moment. $57,000. I just will never understand finding somebody that kind of money, even for spitting on a human being. Like it was, I think the detail. He spit on his chest. It was pregame. It wasn't like it was in the middle of a fight and he punched him in the face or he put him in any kind of harm's way. Not in any way, shape, or form condoning spitting on another human being. I don't know that there's anything more disrespectful that you can do to a man, if we're being completely honest. But knowing the details that we know right now of kind of the spitting back and forth thing, I don't know that it wasn't – I mean, that's completely out of line and out of pocket, no question about it. But I don't know that in his crazy mind that it wasn't some kind of ha-ha, you know, kind of deal. You spit at me, I spit at you kind of deal. $57,000 is a lot of money. I will never in my life understand – how the fining system works in the league.
Going to charity.
I mean, look, I get it, man. Those guys make a lot of money, but damn.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
I'm with you, T, but
no, 50, I know you are.
50,
yeah.
I mean, it's damn near 60 stacks. I mean, damn. I mean,
hope he's got deep pockets.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, well, he's definitely got that. But boy, it's just, and they're gonna get deeper in the next couple of years. But
as long as he can stop doing silly stuff like this,
the getting kicked out of the game, I get, man. The money, Ron, is just is a big number for me. Outside of putting, you put another man's life at risk or health at risk. Yeah. I mean, hit him hard. This that's a lot of money for me, man.
Yeah, and I think. Listen, he didn't play a snap in the game.
Not a one.
And if you were going to suspend him, like if this happened in the fourth quarter and he had been playing there's 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, then I think potentially suspension may be on the table because, you know, that's but he didn't play a single down in the game. He's losing, as you said, almost $60,000. I think that is enough. I don't think they need to take any more action. This didn't need to be a 2 or 3 game situation or anything like that. I think it is completely fair, and he should be in that game, and he will be in that game. I got no problem with that against the Chiefs coming up on Sunday. But I do that this he has put himself in a situation where now he's on alert if he does other silly stuff, that these suspensions and the consequence are going to get worse once you put yourself in this situation. Which hopefully for him he learns from. And because he's a great player, one of the best players and best defensive players in the game. As you said, them pockets going to get deeper because of what he has done since he's been there. All right, coming up, I ain't going to lie to you. This is what we're going to do. As soon as we get back, we are going to hook somebody up with a pair of tickets to the Texans and Bucks Monday Night Football game. So stay tuned and listen. As soon as we get back, we are going to give the cue to call. Tyler will open up the phone lines, and you will have a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see your Texans play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's coming up next.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
That is a Texans
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's do it, baby. The first Ticket Tuesday of the regular season is now caller number 7 for you, CJ Stroud. Caller number 7, 713-572-4610. Almost got choked up there.
God bless, brother.
Caller number 7, 713-572-4610. You have a chance to be our winner to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen. Tyler is opening up the phone lines, and we will get our next winner. You will be the third and final winner of the day, as there was a winner on Payne and Pendergast in the loop, and now right here on the drive. Tyler will take care of you. Hopefully you get this dub here today and you can be there. But as Clint, you said earlier, hey, come mess with us on Friday. You'll have a chance to win tickets as well on Friday, as we're doing that each and every week on Football Friday as well. So come on out and hang out with us then. But your chance right now, caller number 7, 713-572-4610, your chance to win a pair of tickets. So Tyler will let us know who that is. And happy for somebody. Happy for somebody who's going to have their day made right there. And then to the others who are going to be pissed off, I'm sorry. Again, come on out Friday. Give yourself a chance to win. Be like our guy Ron at Talliers. He won the tickets. And so you gotta be there to get them. But hopefully you get these here. All right, Clint. I know for you, you didn't really love, or maybe not even love, but maybe surprised by what you heard there from DeMeco today in his press conference. We heard it just now at 4:40. DeMeco addressed the lollygagging situation and then addressed the conversation of who's kind of that guy on that side of the ball that they want to help create urgency. Here it is first, Himria responding to the team, according to the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, having a rough practice week, or could have practiced better, excuse me, and lollygagging. This is his response to that.
Yeah, it's never an entire group. That's the one thing about it. So there are individuals that have their moments throughout the week, and the lollygagging, it's a term everybody want to use now. It's for me, it's just our tempo, right, in and out of the huddle, right? We got to get in and out of the huddle quicker so we can get to the line of scrimmage so we can operate and make sure we got checks and things we have to make at the line of scrimmage. Well, to make those checks in the proper manner, right, we got to get out with some urgency. So the urgency piece from everybody has to pick up from the offensive side of the ball, right? The urgency picks up, and we'll be able to operate cleaner when it comes to pre-snap and post-snap.
All right, as he said there, with the offense getting to the line of scrimmage quicker, just that urgency. And then the follow-up was, who is that person? Who is that person on that offensive side of the ball that kind of creates picking up the urgency?
So who are you looking at to say, like,
you're
to
looking
pick
at
that
him.
Speed
you're
up?
You're looking at him. I handle all, everything comes back to me. It's not about me, oh, I need to talk to a player about doing this or that. We'll get it fixed. It's on me.
All right, what's your response to there where you heard him kind of going into the lollygagging point and the offense, and then talking about urgency, and then obviously saying the buck is with him trying to get that right on that offensive side of the ball?
Well, look, I'm on record obviously yesterday, but I want to reiterate. Look, I love the fact that C.J. Stroud was clearly not okay with what just happened Sunday, and stepped out maybe of his comfort zone, but stepped out into a leadership role and was like, "Nah, we got to be better. We didn't deserve to win that damn game." I greatly appreciate that. I would argue that it's one of the better moments for CJ as it pertains to being the alpha on that offense, being the guy that holds people accountable on the offense. I think it was a step in the right direction. So with that said, I think DeMeco's comments today were a huge missed opportunity. I thought DeMeco had the opportunity to say, hey, look, you know, the lollygagging comment, the not being prepared comment, the whatever he meant about the he loves having confidence, but you also have a standard to get to work up to a certain level. Whatever CJ meant when he's talking about grit and not having the grit when negative plays happen and not being able to work through that, whatever my quarterback said, he's in the huddle, man. He's looking these guys in the eyes every single play, every single day. So if the quarterback says it, man, I'm locking arms with him and we're just going to fix it, yeah. Right? That's the leader of our offense right there. And if he says it, if he feels like he needs to vocalize it, then I'm with him, man. We got to absolutely get it fixed. Like, I thought D'Amico missed an opportunity to have his quarterbacks back. Not that he doesn't have his quarterbacks back, by the way. I think they got a fine relationship. I'm not creating some kind of crazy narrative here. But I thought it was a missed opportunity by the head coach to really kind of encourage his young quarterback to take the bull by the horns and take the reins of this offense. Because I'll be honest with you, I think other than playing great, which we've seen C.J. Stroud do, I think this is one of the more convincing moments that C.J. Stroud has had in terms of holding people accountable and taking over the offense, taking over the room, and not being okay with it. So I thought it was a missed opportunity, first and foremost, by D'Amico Ryans in that light. And then my question with his response of it's not about a group of people and him kind of leaning into this whole it's about tempo in and out of the huddle thing. Like my response to that immediately is we went to training camp, man. Yeah. We've watched D'Amico Ryans hover over the offense. And by the way, I love that he's doing it, but we've watched him like Hawkeye the offense the entire training camp. Like, if tempo in and out of the huddle was a problem, why are we waiting until after game one to acknowledge that we need to focus on it and emphasize it? You got a brand new quarterback, I mean, brand new offensive coordinator who all we've heard about is juice and energy. Why is tempo a problem? Why is urgency a problem? I don't like the thought of like having to address that after it's blatantly obviously a problem. Like D'Amico's been hovering. And really, really keeping an eye on what's going on offensively. So, you know, that I think really this was a missed opportunity and a more what the heck is going on type of response for me.
Yeah. Rob Torres on YouTube says, why are we assuming that CJ isn't the one that was lollygagging and that's why D'Amico didn't say something? Listen, I don't know. Who they didn't give names of lollygagging or anything.
It very well could have been, but it speaks even more to the issue. But
the two things that jump out to me from that whole thing was one, he didn't like clearly align himself with agreement on with CJ about the practice as a team and the lollygagging. It seemed like they weren't on the same page in thinking on that. And he let us know that. And then also that when he was hit multiple times about, like, who's that guy on that side of the offense? There was another time earlier in the press conference where he was asked, who is that guy? Who is that guy on this team? And on your offense, who is that guy that is like Azeez Alshire? It felt like a leadership question, and he didn't have a name, including didn't say C.J. Stroud, and then ultimately, as you heard there at the end, said it goes to him. Those two things really jumped out to me.
Y'all gotta be that ready were, to go,
that,
man.
That were surprised.
Well, yeah, Ron, I think you hit the nail on the head. It just doesn't surprise me because we've been talking about this lack of leadership on the offensive side of the football for 6 months. I mean, and not necessarily that it wasn't there, but questioning who is it going to be, right? Like, obviously, we don't know who that's going to be. And then with Joe Mixon out, it's even tenfold more important, right? Is it going to be Nico? Is it going to be Titus? Is it going to be Nick Chubb? Is it going to be Dalton Schultz? Is it going to be C.J. Stroud? And so, me personally, I'm not creating this narrative. I'm not creating this thought. I've voiced it on this radio station for 6 months.
But you're not surprised D'Amico didn't say C.J.
Yes, no, I'm not. I am.
Were you, Tyler? I was surprised he didn't say C.J.
I would have thought he would.
No, I would have thought that he would have. Just to save face, right? But I am not surprised that the head coach didn't immediately jump to putting C.J. Stroud in the same sentence with Azeez Alshire. Like that, like I've had questions about all of those guys. Like do they have I'll put my foot on your neck type of abilities? And I think that is, again, to me, that's kind of where CJ was going. It takes everybody some time to get comfortable and come into their own and be that guy. And I felt like that's where CJ Stroud was going. And, you know, we'll see what what he does moving forward. I hope CJ doesn't backtrack any of his comments, regardless of what he made the organization says. I hope CJ says, "No, I said what I said. I meant what I said, and we got to get better."
We'll hear from D'Amico and CJ again on Thursday, and we'll hear from Nick Cayley as well on Friday. Coming up, T-Mill's best bets. He will try to get you some cash tonight. The Astros are back at it, so I'm certain they will make an appearance in T-Mill's best bets. And speaking of D'Amico, he spoke about what I think there were a lot of things offensively that got to Clint and got to many of you. I think this may be the number one thing that got to many folks that were Texans fans with this offense, and D'Amico addresses it. We'll discuss that and listen to that coming up.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Up
next. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Shout out to Thomas, who is our winner for the two tickets in the bullpen. Congratulations to Thomas, who pulled it off and got it done. And congratulations to all our winners today on all three shows right here on Sports Radio 610 on our first regular season Ticket Tuesday of the year. Stay tuned. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access. You will hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. He will be on with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. They got 2 hours tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. And then following them, Area 45. They were off last night because of Monday Night Football, but damn it, they back tonight. They're going from 8 until midnight. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago, Area 45 back and rolling tonight, and they follow Texans All Access at 8 o'clock. Coming up in a little bit, we will have T-Mill's best bet as well, so stay tuned for that. All right, as we teased, one of the biggest things, and there were some things that people had issue with the offense in the game against the Rams, from not being able to finish, not being able to score touchdowns, not being able to score in the second half, issues with the offensive line, pressure, the running game consistently. But I would argue, Clint, the biggest thing that I think may have gotten under your skin and maybe gotten under many people's skin is they looked over there and you looked on the team and you're like, there's no Christian Kirk, there's no Joe Mixon, and the biggest weapon you have is what many people believe is a top 10 wide receiver in this league, and Nico Collins, and you couldn't early get him started and throughout the game. He had 3 catches for 25 yards on five targets. And that is Kate Stover had more catches in the game than he did and one less target. And D'Amico Ryans, he addressed it. He spoke and answered and gave his thoughts on the lack of involvement from his top threat, Nico Collins.
Throw it to Nico as many times as we can. Of course, that's everybody know. That's a question everybody, you know, wants to answer. Of course, we want to get the ball to Nico. He's one of our best players. But offensively, I just think when you go back to the game on Sunday, we have so many plays where we're kind of playing behind the sticks and we're not doing things that we're trained to do. We're not doing things conducive to staying on track and being able to run our offense in that type of fashion. It's going to be hard, you know, to get the ball to a certain player here or there, right? Because you're second and 18, second and 10, third and long. Like, that's not where you want to operate as an offense. So we just got to come back this week, just do the things that we're coached to do, make sure we're staying on track offensively, making sure everybody's on the same page, and we're just putting ourselves in position to make positive plays. And when we have those positive plays, then it opens up the offense for us to be able to get the ball to whoever we want to get the ball to.
We talked about it Friday. I said if the Texans will lose if they struggle on first downs. First downs will be a big key to this team, Clint. And that seems to be where he is going with issues of getting Nico involved of early downs and putting themselves in second and third and long is as a reasoning of why Nico couldn't get involved like they wanted to.
Well, look, I think he's grasping at straws. I think when it's all said and done, that I'd argue you getting second and 18 is probably a better idea to look for Nico than it was on first and 10. So I would argue that it's better to look for Nico on third and 8 plus than it is on third and 1, right? So I think there's just a little bit of kind of grasping for straws here, grasping for an answer. But I think the bigger picture here for me, Ron, is this is rinse and repeat, right? If you look at what I believe got Bobby Slowick in real hot water and like out of good terms, I think, in the locker room, was Bobby Slowick last year. Every time the offense struggled, it was never, hey, man, I got to be better. I got to do this. We need to do this. It was always, we just got to execute. We just got to execute. Ain't nothing wrong with the offense. Ain't nothing wrong with the play calls. Ain't nothing wrong with tossing the ball into the boundary. There's nothing wrong with this. Like, there's nothing wrong with the outside zone. There's nothing wrong with – it was always got to execute. Got to execute. No, I ain't changing it. Got to execute. Like in other words, when you say that, it's like, look, the struggles aren't on me. The struggles are on the players, right? When you look at – and, again, I think D'Amico is grasping for straws, so it's a little bit out of pocket here. But – again, this is the kind of stuff that got Bobby in trouble. It's not the offense. It's not the OC. It's not the plan going in. It's the players not executing, right? D'Amico said, not doing things that we're trained to do. Not doing things that are conducive to staying on track. Make positive plays to open up the offense to get the ball to whoever we want to get the ball to. Like, those are all like, nah, it ain't Nick Caley. And I know D'Amico's trying to protect his young coach. But at the end of the day, where I think you got to tread lightly is that this group, really CJ and Nico and the guys that are still around, I think there's a good chance that last year Bobby Slowick, a big falling out with Bobby Slowick was that he kept putting it on the players and never changed for 18 weeks. So I think you got to tread lightly here. I don't think any of those are good excuses why Nico Collins didn't get more touches. I think D'Amico, Ron, could have just said, best player on our offense, man. We got to get him more touches. Of course, we want to get him more touches. Next question. You know what I mean?
I just to say, Clint, I really don't give a damn how it happens. They got to figure it out.
No question. It should never happen.
I don't give a rip. We can look up and down it, right? Like, you got CJ Stroud in his prime, Nico Collins in his prime. We've watched Nico Collins not have a soul on the offense around him and still catch 9-10 balls in games.
We have.
I mean, we could look up here. Aaron Rodgers got the ball to somehow DK Metcalf got touches, right? Even late with a rookie, Justin Jefferson had more catches and ended up getting touches in the end zone, right? And I mean, like, we can go around everybody. There are teams that are focusing on dudes that are their top weapons. that are getting touches. And if they don't, and especially if they're in their prime, figure it out. You got to get him touches. And it is not, it shouldn't be that easy to take him out of the game. Because we watch it every single week. Hell, we've watched this group do it. Tank out. Diggs out. Nico, 9 catches, 13 targets. We've watched it. I for the life of me, Tyler, I don't know how they saw that screen and didn't come back to that one. That one, Bose, he got 9 yards on that screen. I don't know how they didn't come to that one.
How did you go into the game and you thought more about getting 4 running backs touches than you did getting 12 touches? Like, it's wild. It's wild that it happened.
Second down and 10, I'm going to get me 6 or 7. Easy.
I cannot believe that it happened. It's definitely got to be fixed. I hope and pray that Nick Caley's got more sense. Nick Caley, if you're listening, I hope and pray that when you talk to the media this week, it's like, hey, man, I don't want to hear nothing about no chains, staying in front of the chains. I don't want to hear nothing about no long, second and long, and I was handcuffed, and I don't want to hear nothing other than, you know what? It don't matter what the situation was. It don't matter who we were playing, where we were playing. It don't matter who's healthy, who's not healthy. If 12 is on the field, we have got to make it a priority to get him as many touches as we possibly early can. As soon as the ball kicks off, we got to get him touches, period. Like that, Nick, don't come out here, Nick, talking about we got to execute. Don't come out here talking about, well, we got to get everybody involved.
And even if you're going to go to establish Nick Chubb in the run game, in between that, there's got to be a ball coming.
I'm gonna tell you, Ron, this week it ought to be Nick Chubb, Nico Collins, and Dalton Schultz. Anybody else? Xavier Hutchinson on jet sweep? No chance. Right, screen to somebody, throwing the ball to Damian Pierce out in the flat, no chance. I mean, it's got to be those three guys. I mean, a heavy dose of those three guys, or they're gonna have some problems. But the Nico Collins thing just can't happen.
All right, T Mill, let's hear it. Get us your best bets as you're gonna try to help the people make a little cash tonight.
As always, yes, sir. Last night wasn't super ideal, but it wasn't awful either. We hit 2 of 4, hit 50% of our bets last night. Vikings won it for us. McCarthy ran his little legs for us. Not so much help from Caleb Williams.
Ooh.
And whatever the hell the other bet was I missed. But I got 4 baseball bets on a Tuesday night for you. 2 of these 4 are Astros related. First off, I meant to give you something different. I got a little busy back here giving tickets away and such. This game's already underway. You can bet it live if you'd like. Or you could follow Smart me on Twitter move. At TMO Real Deal, and you would never miss the best bets and wait for 5:45. You would just know. Phillies, money line, -125, already underway as they are hosting the Mets. Next time on an under, Boston Red Sox at the Athletics, wherever the hell their home is. Under 10 runs tonight at +105, under 10 for Boston and formerly Oakland. And then Astros, they're giving them a run. They're giving them a run on the books. I got Astros +1 at basically even odds against the Blue Jays tonight. Got a risk for a wash, but that's better than a loss. And then lastly, a Yordan Alvarez prop that we hit on early and often anytime he's healthy. Big man, Yordan over 1.5 total bases tonight for the Houston Astros. If they're going to score runs and win this game in Toronto, it's going to have to go through Yordan. So lock it in.
That one feels like a lock-in right now. Unless they just start walking it. That one feels like one to lock in. All right, T-Mill's best bets. I love the Yordan Alvarez one. +1. Okay. All right. There you go. Feeling good. Luis Garcia. We'll see how he does tonight on the bump. His second start. Did pretty good his first one, so...
You feel good about it?
If I didn't just get those transitions in that floor, I might put in some bet.
Those transition pieces.
I gotta hold off on my betting since we just did that in the floor. All right, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Shout out for D'Amico for being on the show. Kinda. today. I am Ron, the show Hughley, as always. Houston, we love you, baby.
And I know it's going to be a lovely day.
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.